Hi, welcome to Kingsway Caringbah, a community inspired by love to live differently. We're so glad you're here with us, engaging with God's word and taking your next step toward experiencing God, community and mission in a richer and fuller way. If you'd like to join us at one of our church locations, connect into a small group, make a financial gift, or to discover more about Kingsway, head to kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app. Simply search Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this teaching will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
It's you alone, Jesus. It's you alone. We lift our eyes, we lift our voices, we lift our hearts to you this morning. All honour and glory and praise to your name. Thank you for the blessing of being together this morning. Thank you for the blessing of a time of retreat and reprieve from our busy world to lift our eyes to you, our Saviour. We open our hearts, we open our minds, we open our spirit this morning to you. Would you fill us this morning, God? Would you enlarge us? Would you minister to us? Would you strengthen us? Would you empower us in this season of waiting, in this season of Advent? Amen. Amen. Why don't you take a seat? Thank you, team. I just feel charged after that. Just give me a minute. That was beautiful, beautiful. I love that hymn. Actually, when Liza, she stayed in to watch, listen to me preach this morning. Beautiful. Was a little baby. I have her on film because she loved, that was her favourite carol. She gave it her all for the adore bit. So it's a special one for us. Advent, I don't know about you, but previously Advent for me this season has really been just counting down to Christmas, you know. The Advent calendar, doing all the Christmas activities with the kids, getting the shopping done, rolling through all of the Christmas events and parties. And by the end of it, if I'm honest, I ended up feeling quite lost, quite kind of caught up in the frivolity and the franticness of Christmas. So this year I made a decision that I wanted to embrace Advent, which is the season of preparation and of waiting, a season of longing, a season where we embrace both the darkness and the pain and the groaning of the world, but we also look with longing and joyful expectation to the light that is coming, to God breaking through with Jesus, our Saviour. And so I have found this month so far incredibly rich and incredibly beautiful, understanding the season of Advent in a different way. And I want to read to you from Romans 8 as we begin today. It says, "The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy." See, I believe this morning that God wants to continue to enlarge us in this season of Advent. So I really want to encourage you, put all the other distraction of the season aside this morning and allow God to minister to your spirit this morning, as he already has been doing, and allow him to enlarge you this morning. So I've been loving this series in Isaiah. Have you been enjoying it? Yeah. And we know, I'm going to dive straight in. We're on Mighty King, Mighty God this morning. Rod read to us the verse that we've been sitting in through December. And we know that God's people, as Jess shared with us a couple of weeks ago, they were awaiting a king who would not only be the wonderful counselor, but he would also be Mighty God. And Jess said to us that the Israelites knew that God was powerful. They experienced him as mighty. They had a front row seat, really different to us, to God's miraculous displays of power. And one of the examples that I was meditating on this week was the time after God delivered his people from Pharaoh and they walked through the waters of the parted Red Seas. I mean, we can hardly get our mind around what that would be like. And they saw God's mighty power at work. And this is the song that's recorded in Exodus that Moses and the Israelites sang to celebrate. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. I mean, this was the God that they knew, and this was the God that they experienced. Do you feel it in that lyric? That sense of God being mighty. Now, the word mighty in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word El Gibor, and it refers to someone who is bold and audacious, strong or valiant. It's usually translated as mighty God. But more exactly, it is powerful champion or godly hero. So the Israelites, the people of God, this was their expectation of the future king, that the Messiah who was coming would be a godly hero, a commander in chief, whose kingdom would be marked by victory in war, success in economics, productivity in agriculture, and justice in social relations. This king, the true king, would finally crush oppression and defend and deliver the poor and needy. To this king, all other kings would bow down. He would be the king of all kings. And you can read this description of this mighty king in Psalm 72. If we skip ahead a little bit or to a different part of the Bible, to the book of Daniel for a minute, we get a glimpse, a number of glimpses through the visions that he had into the future. And one of those is a dazzling description of the coronation of King Jesus that is still to come. Let me read it to you. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And in Hebrews 1, we read this: the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. All of these pictures, the Exodus song, Psalm 72, Daniel and Hebrews paint a picture of the incredible radiance, majesty, might, and power of the Messiah. Yet no other king in all of history has taken such a humble path. You see, as the Son of God becomes a son of man, his first step towards victory, power, and authority is one of staggering descent. He chose to come and meet us where we were at. So he came with skin on as a human being. God is not only a flaming bush, a pillar of fire, or even a mysterious cloud. God is one of us. He came in the least threatening of human states. He entered our world screaming and crying, dependent on someone to change him, feed him, and care for his needs. God came helplessly into the world to help us. I mean, the humility of this king is beyond words. He who never tires or slumbers except at the need for sleep. He who clothes the lilies of the fields had to do his own laundry. He who once rode on the wings of the wind is now getting around only as fast as his 2 feet will carry him, mile after mile after mile. Jesus enters his official ministry campaign by lining up amongst hundreds of others to be baptized. There's no press conference, there's no sermon, there's no fuss. Philippians 2 says this: He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. And he is now being given the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to his name, in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God, his Father. You see, for Jesus, humility and obedience precedes power and authority. For Jesus, humility and obedience precedes power and authority. The power evidenced in the life of Jesus is so different to every other king. Jesus exercises counterpower that refuses the coercive, exploitive power of Rome and instead enacts abundant power that makes the life and true peace possible. His power, his kingdom, his authority is rooted and derived from the will of the Father, whose intention for this world is very, very different than Rome. Jesus is a king completely surrendered to the Father's redemptive and restorative agenda. But for Jesus, meekness is not weakness. I love this quote by George Bernard Shaw. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is a snivelling modern invention with no warrant in the Gospels. meekness is not the same as weakness. In the Bible, the word we use or translate as meek is the same word they use to describe war horses. I didn't know that this until this week. The Greek word is praus, which loosely translated means power under control. And this word was used to describe a horse that was trained to obey instantly and absolutely, no matter how brutal the battle. Jesus was this kind of meek. Power under control. Strength surrendered. For me, C.S. Lewis brilliantly captures the mission and character of Jesus. I love this quote. Wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again. Jesus was fully surrendered to the redemptive and restorative heart of the Father. And he powerfully pursued it in meekness. Mr. Beaver, a little bit later, is describing to Susan in Narnia what Aslan is like. She says this, Aslan is a lion, the lion. The great lion. Oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Meekness is not weakness. Jesus' power is for life. Jesus' power forgives. Jesus' power masters the enemy of life. Jesus' power defeats the power of death. Jesus' power heals. Jesus' power redeems. Jesus' power satisfies. Jesus' power crowns. Jesus' power is transformative. Jesus' power is good. Jesus is mighty God, who came as servant king. Emmanuel, God with us. God dwelt with us, and in doing so, began his greatest work by including us. You know, we know the story, but it's easy to miss the miracle. He dwelt with us and he began his greatest work by including us, by inviting us into what he is doing. Luke 9, 1, 2. Jesus summoned together his 12 apostles and he imparted to them authority over every demon and the power to heal every disease. Then he commissioned them to preach God's kingdom realm and to heal the sick. Why? To demonstrate that the kingdom had arrived. We are now entrusted with the power of God. We are emboldened by the Holy Spirit to bear witness to the life-giving power of the mighty God who overcomes death. The divine power of healing, forgiveness, restoration, and well-being is on the loose in the world through us, through you, and through me. Can you name any other leader in the world who has done anything even close to this? Jesus gives his power away. And he invites us to participate in his transformative acts. Far out! The humility in this is, well, incredibly humbling. He gives his power away, and he invites us to partake in his transformative agenda of restoring the world. For Jesus, humility precedes power. For Jesus, obedience precedes authority. And so it is for us. I want to ask you this morning, do you want to see more of God's power and glory manifested in your life? Do you want to see more of God's glory and power manifested in your family? Do you want to see more of God's glory and power manifested in our church? Do you want to see more of God's glory and power manifested in our community and in our world? Humility is the gateway. A quote from Father James Martin. Humility is the gateway to faith. Without it, we simply rely on our own efforts without recognizing our dependence on God. Without it, we simply rely on our own reason without opening ourselves up to the possibility of the miraculous. Without it, we can never fully enter into the world that God has in store for us. Humility is the key to almost everything in the spiritual life. To be holier is to be humbler. So as we press in to this time of Advent, longing to see God's power break through, light into darkness, oppression crushed, restoration come, the invitation, the call, the whisper of God to us this morning, I believe is first one of surrender and then one of power. So as we come to the end of the service, I want to lead you through two prayers this morning. One of surrender and then one of infilling of God's power. Is that okay? Good. So if you just take a minute to just allow yourself to be in a posture of surrender, whatever that means for you. Close your eyes, open your arms, kneel on the floor. But just think about how you can posture your body in a place of surrender. Lord, we thank you this morning for Jesus, our perfect example. Mighty God, who became servant king. For his example of humility and of meekness. Lord, that he didn't grasp at equality with you, but surrendered his life to your will and your agenda for humankind. So today, Lord, we want to confess all the ways that we play God in our lives by trying to control, by not accepting our human limitations, from acting and striving in our own strength. And this morning, God, we want to acknowledge afresh our utter dependent need for a Savior, for light to break through, for your glory and manifest power and spirit to be at work in and through our lives. We proclaim this morning that you, Jesus, are mighty God, the one who holds all things in his hand, the one who reigns. You are very much in control. And we declare you again this morning as Lord. Lord of our hearts, Lord of our homes, Lord of our church, and Lord of our world.
At your name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And Jesus, you are mighty God and our servant King. But today, this morning, we declare that you too are good, that you love us, that you delight in us, that you are for us. And we place our trust again this morning in you and you alone. You are a good, good King. Let that sink, that revelation, that declaration sink deep into our spirits this morning. And let it glorify your name. Amen. Amen. All right. Now I want to invite you to stand. And I would like you, if you're comfortable, to reach out and lay your hands appropriately on a person near you that you feel comfortable with. Hand around the shoulder, whatever. Because I want to pray now out of Ephesians 3 for the empowerment of God's Spirit. And we do that through the laying on of hands. And we do that as a body together. So as I pray this prayer out of Ephesians, I encourage you to pray for those that you're standing with. And I encourage you, even beyond that, as we slowly then move back into worship, that you might continue to pray when I finish praying for the person that you are standing with, if God lays something on your heart or mind, or you just can pray a prayer of blessing over them. So let's pray together. We kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on the earth. I pray this morning that He would unveil within you the unlimited richness of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and His explosive power. By constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. You are empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love is pouring into you now. Let it come, God. Let it come, Holy Spirit, till we are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Don't doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. So now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that raises and rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. In His precious name we say, Amen.
Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. We pray that you would go from here fully aware of God's presence with you to show His love, grace, and kindness to the world around you. If you have a story to share of how you've been inspired by God's love and the impact He has made in your life this week or the lives of others around you, we would love to hear from you. simply email us at mystory@kingsway.org.au. We'd love to celebrate what God is doing in your life and be encouraged by your faith. Thanks again for being with us today. We cannot wait to connect again with you soon.